Barbados.
Thank you.
Jam on the Caribbean Sea. Come back to my island, Barbados. Come back to my island and me. Please come back when the night winds are blowing. Please come back to the surf and the sea. You'll find rest, you'll find peace in Barbados. Come back to my island and me.
Live to the Pastor J. Ross Show. Thank you.
A gracious, gracious good morning to you all. You're listening live to the Pastor J. Rouse Show special edition for Barbados Independence, 50th anniversary of independence. And we want to tell you, as we are recording this on November 30th, 2016, only to remember that 50 years ago, independence from the British Crown took place in the beautiful island of Barbados. It marked the raising of the Barbados national flag and the playing of the new national anthem for the very first time. And that was November 30th, 1966. Although not cut off and still in good fellowship with the British monarchy and the Queen and England, we are proud to say that today marks the 50th anniversary of independence for Barbados. For tribute to begin with, we will begin with the playing of the British National Anthem, God Save the Queen. Establishment of the first English settlement in Holtown in 1627, Barbados remained a British colony for more than 300 years. But on that notorious day, when the exchange and the raising of the Barbados national flag took place, Barbados has not been the same since. Pride and industry, we all call it proud. Wherever we are, we always will be Bajans to the bone. On September 24th, 2016, we had the honor and privilege at the DLP Canada Errol Barrow Memorial Dinner here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, where we had special guests, the Barbados Consulate General to Toronto, Hainsley Benn, who welcomed the exciting crowd anticipating words of power and pride. There was also in attendance was the Barbados High Commissioner of Canada in Ottawa, Yvonne Wilkes, and of course the Right Honourable Prime Minister of Barbados, Frondelle Stewart. We invite you to listen in as they greeted, as they welcomed, and as they shared their vision from a DLP perspective, but certainly from an international perspective for Barbados in its 50 years and 50 more and many more to come. We listen in now as the Barbados Consulate General to Toronto, Hainsley Benn, welcomes everybody to this special event.
Prime Minister, I want to say as well to report that we took examples from the government of Barbados and decided that we'll have activities throughout the year to celebrate Barbados' 50th anniversary of independence. We started in April with the Nurses Association having a wellness day at the residence. And thanks to Bill Mayers and the BTMI people, Barbados Tourism Marketing Inc., we had the return of Barbados on the Water, a very successful event. And then we had CUNY Community early June. And the Alexander School alumni had held their concert on June the 4th as well. And then after the event, including the end of June, the Barbados board and the AIDS set a very torrid face with a very, very successful ball. They set an example that we must match. And I want to congratulate them. They set a torrid face and we intend to continue with that spirit. And then came July and the alumni, Prime Minister, had a successful golf tournament, followed the next day by the Hamilton Association having their family picnic. And Hamilton is in the house. David and his team are here tonight as well. And then the end of August and the HCQC group, they had a successful day at the races of Woodbine on the 20th of August. And then we moved quietly into September and the OCC held a busy night and Barbados continued to support. And tonight, Prime Minister, this is the opportunity for the DLP calendar to have an event, because this is one of the events as well as part of the Barbados Independence Celebration Committee's calendar. We have a calendar of events. And this is one of the events. Tomorrow, as the Master of Ceremony is indicated, we go down to the University of the West Indies. Toronto, yes. Software House, AP18569 Fodina Avenue, Toronto, for our town meeting. And we are looking forward to seeing all of you there. Here's an opportunity for you to ask a lot of questions to the Prime Minister. This is an opportunity that you've never had before. And as we go through September and into October, Mr. Michael's alumni will be having their luncheon on the October 16th. And we are urging all of you to support it in the same way that you support tonight's event. In the same way you supported the OCC, in the same way you supported the Barbados Board. Prime Minister, we go into November. The Ex-Police Association will be having their activity. And of course, then the Barbados Independence Celebration Committee will be having three events, the church service on the 13th of November, the ball on the 19th, our gala on the 19th of November, and the flag raising ceremony on the 25th of November.
In the meantime, Ottawa will be having their gala on the 12th of November. Saskatchewan will be having theirs on the 25th of November. British Columbia also on the 12th of November. Edmonton is having them near the 30th of November. And so, and on the 22nd of October, I'll be going to Oshawa to speak with Barbadians there. And on the 5th of November, I'll be going to Windsor to speak with Barbadians there. So, Prime Minister, we have a together people here, Barbadians and friends and Canadians, and I want to thank all of you for the love that you have shown to our beloved country, Barbados, as we celebrate 50 years of independence. Before I close, thank you. So I'm appealing to all of you, purchase your tickets, get your tickets for the 19th of November. We are going to be back here at 2901 Markham for our big activities. Now, before I started, I promised myself that I would not say anything that would make you laugh. Honestly. I also promised, I did not promise my wife anything as well because I do not break her promises. For the 2 years of marriage, I have not broken any promises to her. We always keep the vows, especially that says, for better or for worse. I couldn't do any better and she couldn't do any worse. As I close, Mr. Prime Minister, ministers, I want to say to you that as I look around the room, I felt happy to see how well it turned out, especially the ladies. And I will leave this one with you. A lady was getting ready for a function just like this. And she was in the mirror, posing up, doing the usual thing that ladies do. And her husband entered the room and stood up just behind her. And once she saw her husband in the room, she said to him, "Honey, look at me. Look at my face. Look at the wrinkles in my face. Honey, look at my jaw. Honey, I look terrible, honey. Honey, I look terrible. Honey, what do you have to say?" The husband said to her, "Darling, all is not lost. All is not lost. There's good news. The good news is your eyesight is perfect." Let me thank you once again, the LP Tanda, for a wonderful night. And may God continue to bless the LP Tanda, the LP Barbados, and the entire Barbados. God bless you. Have a wonderful night. Thank you.
And then we have 50 Years, a song coined by Wendy Barker of Croydon, where she pledged and celebrated Barbados' 50th independence anniversary. Following that, you will hear the voice of High Commissioner to Canada in Ottawa, Yvonne Wilkes, at the DLP Errol Barrow Memorial Dinner here in Toronto. Stay with us. Years of slavery.
But I said that we still have to look at what we are doing now and make sure that we do that better and understand it better. And I want to say to you that I started jotting a point that flowed through my head at the same time. And I said, look, we need to share information more. We need to make sure that all of our people in Canada is getting the kind of information that is necessary to make us know what each other is doing. And I know that in Ottawa, in High Commission, we have a newsletter called Barbados Connection, and since I've been there, this is the second time that we're doing that newsletter to make sure that we bring also photos and some words to some of the things that the events and activities that we do in Ottawa and also with Team Barbados. But the point is that it's digital so that a lot of persons can have that information. But since I only have a short time to talk tonight, I can't expand on that. But I want to say that we have to collaborate more. As a people, we have to get together with the various organizations. I know that there are lots of organizations here in Toronto, and I know that CG Ben was telling me that he was trying to get the organizations together so that they could get a number of events happening for the 50th Independence Celebration together, that they would be able to operate under a kind of umbrella. And then there is the BC, NC, BAC umbrella organizations that bring other organizations together that we have to become a part of. But the point that I was making, that more of us need to get into the organizations that are already there, it has nothing to do with how far you are, how old you are, or whatever, or how young you are, that we have to join the organizations that are already there. We have to be a part of them. We have to ensure that we are in the leadership. We join the committees, board, get on the board of directors. I noticed that here with the LP Canada, that President Austin and the other committee members have been able to bring a number of young people into the organization. And I thought that is beautiful, and the lead up tonight in terms of what they were able to do, to even bring the smallest child into it, is paramount to what we need to do in order to collaborate. But you need to register also with the consulate and register with the High Commission. You need to have your name here, your addresses. How can you invite the events and activities that nobody knows exactly who you are? And if they're advertised, if there is press releases, you must attend the activity so that you can be part of what is happening with the Barbadians. You can remember persons who told me that when they first came to Canada, they were so glad to see a Barbadian on the street that they rushed over and hugged them and asked them how can they become part of them. No, everybody has stopped doing that. So we need to be able to collaborate. If you're saying that we're seeing this disconnect, how do we form that bridge, establish that bridge again? But, you know, if the cabinet, the prime minister, and Minister Maxine Lepine of Foreign Affairs, they have established also in Canada honorary councils and across the diaspora. And right now we have new honorary councils in Montreal, in Edmonton, in Calgary, in Halifax, and in BC. So that again is another bridge, that if we are having that disconnect, if something is happening to us, that we can contact those honorary councils. In the news, like I was talking about, we have identified them, we have written little notes about them so that persons can see who they are, and if they're in the various provinces, then they can contact them. But how do you then ensure that you go to the various events that even CG Ben had just mentioned? There were a number of activities down here. I came from Ottawa and attended those activities that he has mentioned. But we also had some in Ottawa. I'm not going to go through all of them. But I'm saying that even in the news, like I've mentioned, some of the activities that we've had. So I'm talking about how then do we get involved. But what is useful is also the youth. Look at what the youth is doing, and I know some of the more mature persons are also doing this. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. That is, everybody has everyone has these hits, and I have thousands of people on my Facebook, and that kind of, how do you spread the right information? How do you get yourself together if you want that connect? So I'm saying that I'm giving you a task tonight, that you as ambassadors to Barbados, you go there and help us to be able to get that connect that attorney at law was talking about. So I hope that you will help us to do this better, and that we will start feeling better as a Barbadian society, if one can stay away from home. And I know a lot of you go home, but that you can assist the nationals at home. And I want to thank you for bearing with me, because I was thinking so much of this today, I thought that I would invite you into embracing this whole concept and see how you can help us with it. So thanks for your patience, and thanks for listening to me, and thanks for having me on again. Thank you.
In honor of Barbados' 50th anniversary of independence, there was a song put together by John Rowett entitled Our Home Barbados, Legends to Legacy. We will now listen to that song as we pay tribute, and then prepare to hear the message of the Right Honorable Prime Minister of Barbados, Frondell Stewart, at the DLP Errol Barrow Dinner, Memorial Dinner, on September 24, 2016, in honor of Barbados' 50th year of independence. Stay with us.
United as a nation, blessed from above, strong to have made it this far.
Unafraid of the future, surrounded by love.
Proud, proud of who we are. These fields and the hills, beyond recall. The pages of history.
Legends to legacy.
Neela Jones, the Secretary of BLD Barbados Canada and the Chair of the Youth Committee. I am honored to have this opportunity to introduce our guest speaker who will deliver the feature remarks at this 9th Annual Arrow Bauer Memorial Dinner. National hero, the late right excellent Errol Walton Barrow, who we celebrate tonight, was Barbados' first Prime Minister who spearheaded Barbados' journey to independence. For the past 6 years, Prime Minister Frondelle Stewart, the 7th Prime Minister of Barbados, has steadfastly handled the affairs of the nation in the pursuit to create a Barbados which is socially balanced, environmentally sound, economically viable, and characterized by good governance. This steady, mature leadership style is notably influenced by his deep philosophical, religious, and moral grounding. There can be no coincidence, then, that as we celebrate our 50th year of independence, Frondelle Stewart is in office as our Prime Minister. The convergence of forces have determined that the Democratic Labour Party be in office at this time. Barbados and the Democratic Labour Party are privileged to have Frondelle Stewart as its leader. Often portrayed as by those who know him well as very erudite and politically astute, as well as one who brings a philosophical approach to most issues, Frondelle Stewart still possesses that common touch that propelled him into elected politics over 20 years ago and endears him to his St. Michael's South constituents and the wider Democratic Labour Party family. Education is indeed a passion for Frondelle Stewart. Raised by a single parent in the rural parish of St. Philip, he educated himself and then went on to educate others as a teacher in the same rural parish. This, of course, was possible due to the policies introduced by the Democratic Labour Party. Under Stewart's leadership, Barbados continues to punch above its weight. This is demonstrated by our leader's advocacy for climate change as he was invited in August 2010 to serve as part of a 22-member UN panel which made 56 recommendations, including improvements in health and education and ending subsidies on fossil fuels. His passion for the blue economy, where our untapped waters are seen as an economic resource, helps to define his love for people, nature, and our small island developing state. Before I invite our guest speaker to the podium to give his remarks, let me share with you his call to all Barbadians. What features of Barbadian life have we lost and need to reclaim? What features of Barbadian life have we not lost and need to retain? What features of Barbadian life have we not lost but need to try and discard as quickly as possible? Ladies and gentlemen, please stand and help me welcome our guest speaker, President and leader of the Democratic Labour Party, and the 7th Prime Minister of Barbados, the Right Honourable Frondelle Jerome Stewart, QCMQ.
And the Honourable Minister of Labour, Dr. Optimer Kutcher, General Secretary of the Democratic Labour Party, Consul General at Toronto, High Commissioner at Ottawa, President of BLD Barbados Canada, members of the board, fellow Barbadians here in Canada, friends of Barbados here in Canada, distinguished ladies and gentlemen. May I begin by saying how especially pleased I am, how honored I feel once again to be here in Toronto to visit the 9th annual dinner, Errol Bauer Memorial Dinner, held by the BLD Barbados Canada. Always a pleasure to be here, and of course to see faces which in some cases I haven't seen for many years, And to see others whose faces have become familiar as a result of the frequency now with which I make this annual trek. Very pleased this evening, of course, to see my friend of very many years, Canon Stephen Fields, and his wife Lucy. My friend of many years ago, Mr. Phil Broom. My old schoolmate as well, Mr. Michael Yard, and so many other people that have been a part of my life for many years, but who I see very frequently. When I see them, of course, I'm quite embarrassed, because looking at them, I'm reminded that if you want not to become great, the best thing to do is to keep out of politics. But it's a pleasure to be here, and of course, to be so warmly received by all of you here in Toronto at this very important event. This event this year, of course, is of special importance to me and should be of special importance to all of you, having regard to the fact that Barbados is celebrating its golden jubilee as a nation, having succeeded or acceded to independence on the 30th day of November 1966. That happened, of course, after 339 unbroken years of British colonialism, and it is especially appropriate that at the 9th annual Erebar Memorial Dinner, I should be talking about Barbados' 50th anniversary of independence, because it was Erebar himself who spearheaded the drive for Barbados to become an independent nation in the 1961 manifesto of the Democratic Labour Party, which brought Barrow to office. It was made very clear that the road to Barbados' destiny was the road to independence, and from that ideal we should not retreat. And by 1966, Barrow had led Barbados into independence. So there is an indissoluble connection between Barbados, Barrow, and independence. And that's why it is also very important that the party Barrow formed and led the Democratic Labour Party should be in office at the time when Barbados is celebrating 50 years of independence. It would have been quite awful, I think, if the party that opposed independence were in office in Barbados in this golden jubilee year. I do not know what they might be telling Barbadians at the time. But we can say, and we can look back and say that the faith we had in Barbadians 50 years ago was quite justified, that independence has worked for Barbados, and that we can look forward to the next 50 years with confidence. We've not been perfect. Nobody is perfect. As I said when I launched the 50th anniversary celebration, perfection is the exclusive preserve of the Almighty. None of us is perfect. But as I heard an American diplomat say recently about President Obama, and I thoroughly agree with him, he said, oh, President Obama is a good president. And he said, why? He said he's humble enough to be self-critical. And he's confident enough to be self-correcting. And we, as a people, have to be humble enough to be self-critical and confident enough to be self-correcting. We've not been perfect, we've not always got it right as a nation, but on any objective evaluation of Barbados' journey over the last 50 years, it has to be conceded that we have been a successful nation. Independence, of course, is never intended to be an end in itself. Independence is obviously a means towards an end. The end of independence, of course, is that we revolutionize our economy and transform our society. And that Barbados has done over the last 50 years. As I was telling another group this morning, the board of the LG Barbados Canada, in 1966, when we moved into independence, we were a one-crop sugar economy in Barbados. We were producing 175,000 tons of sugar in 1966. In fact, the year after 1967, we were producing 204,000 tons of sugar. 50 years later, we are struggling to produce even 10,000 tons of sugar. So fundamentally has our economy been transformed from a sugar economy to a service-based economy led by tourism and by international business and financial services. And a large number of those tourists come from right here in Canada. That is why the relationship between Barbados and Canada is so especially important. There was a time when Canada was our principal source market for tourists. There was a time when the United States was our principal source market for tourists. And it just happened that at this time, the year 2016, for the last 2 years, the United Kingdom is our principal source market for tourists. But Canada occupies a very special place in the affections of Barbados and in the history of Barbados, having regard to the fact that not only do large numbers of Canadian visitors come to Barbados, but our international business and financial services sector is largely a Canadian patronized sector. Outside of the United Kingdom and the United States, Canadians invest in no other country as much as they invest in Barbados. They invest more in the United States, they invest more in the United Kingdom. And the third largest source of Canadian investment, or the third largest beneficiary of Canadian investment, is Barbados. So it's a very close relationship between the two countries. And also, a great coincidence that I'd like to speak to you tonight, the Prime Minister of Canada, the Right Honourable Justin Trudeau, Prime Minister of Canada, because with his late father, the late Pierre Elliott Trudeau, who had a great relationship with Barbados as well. So do the dogs of his successors, of course, but I mentioned Pierre Elliott Trudeau only because he was an exact contemporary of the man whose life and times and contribution we memorialized tonight, his late great excellent Earl Walton Farrell. They were students together at the London School of Economics, and that relationship continued until Farrell's death in 1987. So there's much for Barbados to celebrate as a 50-year-old nation. Jimena Jones, for whose very flattering introduction I'm grateful and should like to thank her, made the point that I put three questions before Barbados when I launched the 50th anniversary celebration. Because we've not, as I say, always got it right. There's not everything about Barbados that we can be proud of or should be proud of. There's not everything about any nation that we can be proud of or should be proud of. So I'll ask the question, what are those features of Barbadian life that we have lost that we need to try and retain? The second question is, what are those features of Barbadian life that we have not lost that we have to try and retain? And what are those pieces of Barbadian life, the third question, that we have not lost, that we need to try and discard as soon as possible, because those features are doing us no good. And I put those questions to the country because their supposed virtue that as a nation, as a country, we have had, that the onset of modernization has put us in a position where we have turned our backs on them. That community-mindedness, that close but neighborliness, for which Barbados is so well known, as a result of a lot of the material development and so on that they compared to around us, and this happens in most societies, we've become a more impersonal society than at the time when we lived in close communities in an agricultural economy. Now, as a result of that, it is possible for people to be living in a developed community and not know the name of their neighbor or the names of their neighbor's children. I know they never only by the registration number of a motor car. And I'm saying that, and I just give that as an example, it is not true of every part of Barbados, but it is true of some parts of Barbados. In fact, some years ago when we were having some challenges with criminal activity, a former commissioner of police introduced in Barbados the concept of the neighborhood watch. We brought people in development, or some of our more impressive houses in development together to establish neighborhood watches so that neighborhoods in developed communities could keep an eye out for one another and for one another's interests. I found that development very interesting when it happened because it dawned on me that we were not coming together voluntarily. That it took criminals and criminal activity to bring us together. And I'm thinking that we have to really get back to some form of community-mindedness that pervades all of the society and that makes us feel once again that we are our brother's people. That is just an example of what I'm talking about. Of course, the onset of modernization again has begun to erode at some of those most cherished values which Barbados was so well known. We've become a very consumerist society. And while it's true that there's nothing wrong with consuming some of the best that life has to offer, we cannot allow, and I'm sure that Canon Pink will agree with me on this, we cannot allow the means by which we live to so possess us that we forget the ends for which we live. And therefore, there are some areas in which we have to do some introspection. There are some areas in which we have to be self-critical if we are going to be self-correcting. 50 years is also consolidating some of the gains which we have made even before independence. And when we became an independent nation, we became an independent nation because the colonial experience, the colonial condition was not working for the majority of all Barbadians. It was working for just a few. In fact, the few who were opposing independence in 1966 had every right to do so because they could not see anything wrong with the society in which they were living at the time because colonialism was working for them. The whole rationale for independence was to put government in a position where they could manage the country for the benefit of the majority of people in society. We had a lot of catching up to do in the areas of housing, in the areas of land ownership, in the areas of education and health, and we invested very heavily in our human capital through education and through health, so that Barbados is now regarded as one of the top small island developing states in the entire world. When Barbados speaks internationally, people stop and listen because Barbados' voice is taken very seriously. and have so invested in our human resource, our people, through education and through health, and the provision of proper housing and a reliable social security system, that our people are able to impact not only on their own country, but on countries wherever they may reside from time to time, Canada not excluded. And long may that continue to be so, as long as I have anything to do with it. And that is for the next two elections. I intend that that investment in our human capital should continue, that we should continue to so educate our people. And that's why the Minister of Education is here tonight, because we have built our reputation on education, and we must continue to invest in the education of our people. Education is a source of empowerment. It has been a source of empowerment for our babies, and that will continue. So from the nursery stage, between the ages 3 and 5, through the primary stage, from age 5 to 11 plus, through the secondary stage, from 11 plus to 18, on the tertiary stage, from age 18 to whenever, we have been investing heavily in education. I have never belonged to that school of thought, never will belong to that school of thought that says that you educate people for the job market. I'm very glad that when I was going to school, nobody told me that foolishness, that I would be an educator for the job market. Because when you educate a human being, you're not only educating them to work, you're educating them to be a good family man, you're educating them to be a good community person, you're educating them to be a solid human being, guided by a solid core of values. Your education to be a good parent. Your education for any function he has in life, not just to be a worker. So education is a virtue in and of itself. It is not just a virtue because it allows you to work. And like health, we must pursue education not because of what it allows us to do as we are sick, but because it allows us to be better human beings. You don't want good health only because you want to work. You want good health because you want to be good. And because you want to be of assistance to your family, and because you want to be able to enjoy recreation, you want to be able to travel and see some of the world, and so on. You don't just want health, good health, because you want to work. Similarly, you don't just want a good education because you want to work. You want a good education and you want good health because these are virtues in and of themselves. They help you to understand better your intellectual and moral capacities. They give you a more secure hold on life. They teach you respect for yourself and respect for others. And that is what Barbados has been doing over the last 50 years and beyond the last 50 years. And that is what will continue to be the case in Barbados for the next 50 years. Now, I said that independence was not an end in itself, it was a means toward an end, and I said that we set out to revolutionize our economy and to transform our society. And in terms of transforming our society, yes, we've educated people, yes, we've made them a healthier people. Of course, the entire region now is in the grip of that threat called chronic non-communicable diseases. Our consumption patterns have been such, our lifestyles have become so sophisticated that chronic non-communicable diseases have been a big problem in the Caribbean, Barbados included. So obesity, diabetes, hypertension, cancer, all these lifestyle-derived diseases have been eaten away at the fabric of our societies in the Caribbean. Our CNCD, chronic non-communicable diseases, are, so Trevor Hassel sat with me not too long ago to discuss this issue. And he said, Prime Minister, you know, if I may accentuate for you the seriousness of this challenge, let me put it to you this way. Every dollar you put in the healthcare market, 70 cents of that dollar is being spent on chronic non-communicable disease. And so if that doesn't startle you enough, anytime you see a group of any 10 Barbadians anywhere sitting down or standing up, at least 7 of them are suffering with some chronic non-communicable disease. Now, as I said, it's not only a Barbadian problem, it's a Caribbean problem. So that what we're trying to do in the country at the moment is to sensitize people to the need to change their lifestyle. We have passed legislation to ban smoking in public places. In last year's financial statement and budgetary proposal, the Minister of Finance, with the authorization of the cabinet, imposed a tax on sweet drinks. And there are other measures that we're going to be taking to confront this monster. We have been trying to encourage people to exercise more and to manage their dietary habits with a little more sophistication and maturity so that we can protect ourselves from the seemingly unstoppable march of this threat to our country's development. So there are some things that we have to do over the next 50 years if Barbados is going to continue to be on its way to a vertebrate and solid and unshakable future. These processes have to be led by the government, and of course, the present government, one of the reasons why we have been providing leadership in that regard. I tell you, when we imposed the tax on sweet drink, it was such a shock to those who export sweet drinks to Barbados and who have taken over the taste and the palate of our people, that a whole delegation flew into Barbados from the United States of America. The delegation was led by a former governor of a state in the United States of America. Wanted to meet with me and wanted to meet with the Minister of Health and so on. They tried to convince us that we should remove the tax. And they tried to tell us that if we were good enough to remove the tax, they would help us in other ways with this whole issue of chronic non-communicable disease. Yeah. We said thanks, but no thanks. Made it very clear that had we not imposed that, they would not have been able, they would not have been minded to find the plane fare to come to Barbados to discuss the NDD. But it's because we had taken a decision that was going to hit at their bottom line that they said that they should come armed with the governor of a former state in the United States, or a state in the United States of America, a former ambassador to the United Nations, to discuss this issue. So we've been taking serious decisions to ensure that our population remains healthy
so that we have a healthy and a highly educated population to continue not only to serve our own country, but people whom we can export to other countries, including Canada, so that we can contribute to the development of Western civilization and at the same time ensure that Barbados' voice and Barbados' interests can be represented in the major capitals of the world. So our independence was not wasted. We revolutionized our economy. We are working now on ensuring that we transition from the use of fossil fuels in our energy sector to the use of renewable sources of energy, alternative sources of energy, taking full advantage of the year-round sunshine that we enjoy in Barbados and our access to wind, and the fact that we're surrounded by water as a small island, and therefore can take advantage of all of these potential sources of energy. Giving people some more control over their lives, giving people a say in the direction in which their country is traveling. Our international business and financial services sector, as I say, the largest amount of investment in that sector comes out of Canada, and we are continuing to deepen that relationship with this country so that we can get even more investment out of Canada and get even more tourism out of Canada, while at the same time contributing to Canada's development in the ways that we have always done. We have some challenges, like all of us today. If you read the newspapers coming out of Barbados, sometimes you get the newspapers. If you read a particular newspaper coming out of Barbados, you will get the impression that Barbados is falling apart, that as soon as you step out of your house, somebody's there waiting with a gun to shoot you. Not true. Not true. It has some problems with illegal firearms. It all has to do with the fact that because we are located, where we are located, the easternmost country in the Caribbean Sea, because most of the drugs consumed in the North Atlantic, here in Canada, in the United States, and in the United Kingdom, and in Europe, come out of South America. The Caribbean is a natural transshipment point for narcotics. And some of our people have got involved in this dangerous narco trade. And there is a close link between the drug trade and the movement of firearms, because the people who have to guard the drug have to be in a position to guard it. And they're equipped with firearms. And of course, as I said earlier today, you know, it is one thing for us to sometimes lament the fact that our formal justice system is bedeviled by as many delays as it is from time to time. But the justice system in that drug world is not bedeviled by any delays. There's no scope for an adjournment of any case or for any plea of mitigation on anybody's behalf. Retrograde rules in that drug world, the punishment is death and death immediately, and you were shot to death. And we've been seeing some of that in the Caribbean. Of course, not only in the Caribbean, but we certainly see some of it in the Caribbean, and Barbados has been affected. We've seen some boldness execution. It is the boldest execution imaginable as a result of what's going on in that narco underworld. But when you give front-page treatment to all of this and give the impression that this is all that is happening in Barbados, that is an unfortunate misrepresentation of the facts. if I can just share this with you. So far for the year, we've had only 14 murders in Barbados. Of course, one murder in the state is too many. We've had 14, lower than the same time last year. And of those 14 murders, 10 were firearms related. And the 10 that were firearms related were all drug related. The others had to do with domestic disputes and so on. And rape stabbings took place and people died as a result. In Trinidad and Tobago, there have been over 300 murders so far per year. And other countries in the Caribbean, I know the Prime Minister of St. Kitts and Nevis just went public to thank the regional security system and to thank his colleagues in the regional security system for making resources available to that country from its armed forces. And both the police and the defense force, making these resources available so that that country can deal with the spate of crime which is accelerating in St. Kitts and Nevis. I believe they have had a stunningly large number of murders so far for the year against the background of the very small size of their population. But again, it's all drug related. And as long as you have to be talking about drugs, you always have to bear in mind that the movement of small arms and light weapons, the movement of firearms, the natural accompaniment of the drug trade. How do we get rid of the drug trade? Is anybody guess? As long as there is demand, there's going to continue to be supply. And let's be very frank about it. When we discuss the drug trade, we discuss it in terms of talking about crime. But the people actually involved in the drug trade do not do the crime, they do the work. This is how they put bread on their family table. This is how they send their children to school. This is how they earn their money. And that is why they are so ruthless in the pursuit of their goals and so swift in the prosecution of their justice methods in that dangerous of the world. You might better understand what I'm saying if I put it to you this way. And I had this discussion with the former president of Mexico when we were discussing the same problem in his country. Cameron seems to very he's in a position to stand up and tell you if I'm misrepresenting the facts. Many, many years ago, 2,000 years ago, St. Paul went into a place called Ephesus and was telling the people of Ephesus that they were into too much idolatry, worshipping idols rather than worshipping the one true God. Because they used to worship a goddess by the name of Diana. And St. Paul fulminated against their worship of the goddess Diana when in fact he was the messenger of the one true God. Went all across the place preaching this message. But there was a man in Ephesus by the name of Demetrius who used to employ a large number of people building statues to the goddess Diana. He did not say upon St. Paul immediately because St. Paul's message did not grip people immediately. But it began to grip people, and more people began to listen to St. Paul. Demetrius called his workers together. And he said to them, look, you know, you're listening to this man. Do you understand what he's saying? He is saying that you should, that Ephesians should stop worshiping the goddess Diana. Now, if Ephesians stop worshiping the goddess Diana, there will be no need for us to continue to build any more statues. And if there is no need to continue to build any more statues, there's no need, there's no work for you. And if there's no work for you, you don't have a source of income. End of story, moral of the story, St. Paul had to run for his life. When these men were indicted, that what he was saying was going to put them out of work. The issues of theology did not occur to them, did not matter to them. They were concerned with the fact that the work they were doing was putting money in their pockets, and here was a man coming, talking a language, the object of which would be to stop them from earning as they were earning under their boss Demetrius. The same thing happens in the drug trade. When we fulminate against it, we are right because it is dangerous. But we call it crime. We who live in mainstream society call it crime. We who have jobs call it crime. We who are comfortably housed and send our children to school, we call it crime. But these people who are involved in it, for them, it is employment. And they will gun down anybody who stands in the way of their earning from what they're doing, nefarious though we know it all to be. So until we can fashion systems that allow us to attract some of these people, or young men in particular, but young women, as long as young women involved know it is as well. We have, in fact, yesterday when I was briefed before you or this, by our police officials. I was stunned at the number of people from a certain Caribbean country in our prison. All for drug offenses, some people, drug mules, females who bring drugs into Barbados from other Caribbean countries and so on. Because this is a problem that has the capacity to destroy our society if it is not arrested. Mercifully, we've been able to keep it under control up to now, and so far we've been able to keep them at bay. And I must pay tribute to the Royal Barbados Police Force for no matter how heinous the crime that is committed, unlike what happens in many other countries in the Caribbean, you can trust the Royal Barbados Police Force to find the persons who have committed the crime and to get them before the court or to get them into custody. And that imparts substantial confidence to the population because they know that these crimes are being solved. People are not committing crimes and being able to get off scot-free. Now, because of the volume and because of our justice system, sometimes things can take a little longer than we want them to take, but when all is said and done, justice is going to be both administered and dispensed according to law. So these are some of the challenges we face as an independent nation 50 years after we embarked on this journey, and other challenges there will be in the future as we continue on this journey. But as long as we have people at home and abroad, citizens and friends of Barbados as solid as you are, we are assured that Barbados is going to be all right. It was all right for the last 50 years, and we are confident it is going to be all right for the next 50 and beyond. So I just want to say to you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that I look forward to seeing as many of you as possible in Barbados in November to celebrate with us. as President Bukele. As President Bukele, we have been doing a number of iconic events in the country to celebrate our 50th anniversary of independence. I gave instructions last year that we were going to go through the year 2016, celebrating for the entire year, doing the reflecting I called on the country to do for an entire year. And I'll give you my reasons quickly before I do that. As I said, when I use the word celebrate, I do not mean extravagant and uncontrolled merriment and jollification and talking about celebrating, because we have achievements of which we can be proud of. But this year, 2016, has been an important year, not only from the point of view of our Golden Jubilee, but from the point of view of other historical events of relevance to Barbados. We, in the month of April this year, celebrated the 200th anniversary of a slave rebellion in the parish of St. Philip at Bailey's Plantation called the Buster Rebellion, or Buster is one of our national heroes. And he led a slave rebellion in the year 1816 to try to overturn the system of slavery in Barbados. He didn't succeed then, and he was executed, he and those who followed him. But 17 years after he was executed, slavery was abolished in Barbados. That event at Bailey's at Golden Grove Plantation, near the Bailey's Plantation, was a resounding successful event, because we reenacted a lot of what would have happened in 1816 and brought people alive, brought their memories alive, their consciences alive, that independence and the fight for independence did not start in 1966. It started way back in the 19th century with people like Buster, who tried to get us free from slavery in the first place. In the month of July, on the 28th of July, we celebrated another iconic event when we had a special set of celebrations for the 80th birthday of our only surviving national hero, the Right Excellency Garfield Sobers. He's 80 years old, born on the 28th of July 1936. But we did not have that event only because Gary Sobers is a national hero, or only because he was celebrating his 80th birthday. Born on 20th July 1936. We have that event because in 1966, in the summer of that year, between May and August of that year, Gary Sobers led the rest of his team to England. And in an unprecedented show of force, of performance, the West Indies team defeated England 3-1 in that series. Gary Sobers himself outperformed everybody else, whether it was talking about batting, bowling, or field. As if he was saying to the nation, look, you're contemplating independence from Britain, go right ahead. I am demonstrating to you that we can have it them and have it any other problem in the world. And we drew considerable inspiration from what happened in the summer of 1966, when Gary Sobers led the West Indies to England and performed as resplendently and as spectacular as he did. So that was a great event. We packed Kensington Oval, the new Kensington Oval. He himself said, that he had not seen Kansas and Wolves so fast since it was rebuilt in the year 2007. Because all Barbadians recognize the importance of what he did in 1966, preparing us psychologically for our independence journey. Only last Sunday, we had another iconic event. Because had he been alive, another national hero, the late Right Excellency Frank Walcott, would have been 100 years. He was born in 1916, on the 16th of September. So in commemoration of his centenary, we had an iconic event last Sunday in which we tried to pull all the labor, all the sectors of the labor movement together in one grand show of gratitude and celebration for the labor movement. Because the democracy we enjoy in Barbados today and the stability we enjoy could not have been secured without the contribution of the labor movement of Barbados. And Frank Walker played a great part in all of that. That was a very successful event as well. There were other labor leaders, such as Charles Duncan O'Neill, another national hero. Another one, Clementine, another national hero. Another one, the New Orleans Springer, another national hero. All of these we celebrated last Sunday on the centenary of the birthday of Frank Walker. And in the month of November, around the 15th of November, there's another iconic event coming up, because had our first female Governor General, Dame Ida Barrow, been alive, she would have been 100 years old too. And her centenary has significance for the contribution that women, the women of Barbados, have played to the development of Barbados. And of course, she was a very renowned and distinguished nurse. We pay particular attention to the nursing profession and the contribution that that profession has made to the development of Barbados as well. And therefore, that's going to be another iconic event in the month of November. There are going to be other things happening. For example, Rihanna is going to be in Barbados for her 50th anniversary of the event. That should be enough to get you there. And of course, we're going to be having a royal visit. Prince Harry is going to be coming down to represent Her Majesty's Queen, since she is not traveling anymore. Or certainly taking traveling those long distances in. But the other things that we'll be doing on the ground involve the entire population during the month of November. At the community level, of course, we have been having local communities recognize their own heroes. When I go back to Barbados in my own constituency, St. Michael's Hub, in the month of October, we are going to be honoring 50 people from that constituency who have contributed to the development of that entire community over the last 50 years. And this has been happening in other constituencies as well. And the church has been making its own contribution. We couldn't have had the Barbados that we have today without the contribution of the church, whether it's the Anglican Church, Methodist or Moravian Church, or all the other Pentecostal and other churches that we have in Barbados. All these have contributed to Barbados on our very significant journey over the last 50 years. And on them we have to continue to rely for the next 50 years if Barbados is going to be a success over the next 50 years. So, we don't have anything of which we can be made to feel ashamed as a nation. You don't have anything of which you can be made to feel ashamed when you fly the Barbados flag abroad. Yours is a great country, and great we intend to ensure it continues to be. It is great, not great in its own right, but great because you, by your ambassadorship, wherever you are in the world, As I said this morning, Consul General Bain is a diplomat. High Commissioner Walton is a diplomat. These are formal diplomats. Consul Gill is a diplomat. He's a formal diplomat. But all of you are informal ambassadors of Barbados. And wherever you go, doing pride to your nation, and you are doing credit to your nation by your conduct and by your comportment, by your deportment, by your attitude and so on, you help to make Barbados strong and reinforce the Barbados brand. And I want to thank you, all of you, for the contribution that you've made to making Barbados the great nation that it has been over the last 2 years. So since the 10 minutes for which I was supposed to speak have now expired, I just want to take my leave of you to say once again how pleased I have been to be here once again and to share this occasion with you. I look forward to being here next year, 2017, because I know that you will have your own celebration here since Canada is going to be celebrating the 150th anniversary of the passage of the British North America Act that created the Canadian Confederation. So you'll be celebrating with Canada next year in the same way that Canada is celebrating with Barbados this year. And I look forward to being here next year to be part of those celebrations. Until then, continue to be the great people you are. Continue to do credit to your nation. Continue to be great Barbadians. Thank you very much.
Amen. And that again was the Right Honorable Prime Minister of Barbados, Frondel Stewart, at the September 24, 2016 DLP Canada Errol Barrow Memorial Dinner, speaking to us, all of us, on the wonderful 50th anniversary of independence. We are reminded recently, thanks to the wonderful movie that's recently come out, Barrow, Freedom Fighter, courtesy of Step by Step Productions, and produced by Marcia Weeks, Dave Weeks, and Eric Holder, of the father of independence and some of his most powerful speeches, the person he was, and the people he served, and the country that he loved. And he reminded everybody that we will be friends of all, satellites of none. And then the infamous mirror image speech. He says, your image, your mirror image of yourself is that your ambition in life is to and get away from this country. And we could call ourselves an independent nation when all we want to do is to go and scrub somebody's floors and run somebody's elevator or work in somebody's store or drive somebody's taxi in a country where you're catching your royal when the winter sets in. What kind of mirror image do you have for yourself? Let me tell you what kind of mirror image I have of you, or what the Democratic Labor Party has for you. The Democratic Labor Party has an image that the people of Barbados would be able to run their own affairs, to pay for the cost of running their own country, to have an education system which is as good as what can be obtained in any industrialized country anywhere in the world. And what a vision it was. And so the Barbados National Pledge reads, I pledge allegiance to my country Barbados and to my flag to uphold and defend their honor and by my living to do credit to my nation wherever I go. So as the Prime Minister reminded, all those Barbadians near and far, we are all ambassadors for the beautiful, beautiful island of Barbados. We close out now with the national anthem rearranged by Nicholas Branker. This is the Pastor J. Rouse Show in our special edition. Myself, my staff, my volunteers, my subsidiaries, and certainly my family wish all of you, all of Barbados, near and far, a happy 50th anniversary of independence. And may God bless the beautiful island and people of Barbados. God bless you.
In plenty and in time of need, when this fair land was young, our brave forefathers sowed the seed from which our pride is sprung.
Trident Pride is strong as we come together as one for Barbados' 50th anniversary of independence.
Barbados.
Thank you.
Gem of the Caribbean Sea. Come back to my island, Barbados. Come back to my island and me. Please come back when the night winds are blowing. Please come back to the surf and the sea. You'll find rest, you'll find peace in Barbados. Come back to my island and me. come back when the night winds are blowing. Oh, please come back to the surf and the sea. Oh, you'll find rest, you'll find peace in Barbados. Come back to my island and me.
You want to hear everybody sing it now? Come on, sing it up.
Beautiful, beautiful Barbados. Gem of the Caribbean Sea, come back to my island, Barbados. Come back to my island.